Andy Holdings Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. Alex Dunn here, joined on the line by Andy Holding to look ahead to Dundalk's card on Friday evening. Wouldn't be a Friday evening without Dundalk, really, would it? Andy will be in the studio throughout Friday's racing. But we thought we'd give you a little insight into his fancies for Dundalk earlier in the day. And I'm joined on the line by Mr. Holding. How are you, Andy?
Yeah, fresh after a nice walk with the dog.
Good.
I wear the cobwebs.
Lovely stuff. I'm also pretty fresh, actually, following the William Hill Christmas party last night.
Yeah, you sound it.
Oh, very well behaved.
I thought the voice was gone and
the head was
all spinning.
Not at all. Not after last year, Andy.
Well done, mate.
Not
yeah, you've learned your lessons like many others don't.
Exactly. But pretty standard fare tonight at Dundalk, but we've seen a lot of horses now, obviously with the cards every Friday, and then we throw a few Wednesdays in as well. Horses that continue coming up against each other, and that makes it quite, well, not easy, but slightly easier to assess them.
Yeah, I think a lot of regular listeners to William Hill Radio and the podcast all know these horses now at Dundalk quite affectionately, and also probably more than they do some of the horses that are going to be bound for Cheltenham next year, such as the acquaintance we've made with these horses. So, yeah, a lot of them are going to be regulars that I'll be tipping again. A lot of people are expecting me to go for the same kind of horses, and I certainly haven't let them down on one or two counts, but there are another few horses thrown into the mix as well, just to give it an extra bit of spice.
Okay. Right, we'll kick things off then with the 6:15. It's the first race on the card, and it's a handicap over 5 furlongs. And the betting has a really open look to it. We're 4-1 the field at the time of recording. You could certainly give a chance to quite a few of these, Andy.
Yeah, wide open contest to start. These 5 furlong handicaps are not normally my bag. I can never get them right. It's a bit like bingo on legs, really. Interesting run as the top one, Persian Caliph. Used to be with Jessica Harrington, now has his first run for John James Fean, of course, is synonymous with plenty of sprinters and touches here landed at Dundalk, such as Strategic Heights and Prince Connoisseur. And obviously got a great all-weather record. Reasonable draw, lightly raced and open to improvement. Definitely keep your eye on the market on that one. Kimbe's very solid. She comes in good nick as well. Her form figures read 2 wins and a second in recent times. Her speed figure last time out beyond Serenity Spa gives her a real form chance, and she's already proven over the course and distance twice over with 2 C&D wins earlier on in the campaign. I think she's probably the one for the obvious each way maggots. I also quite like High Empress here. A filly who's probably got a little bit to find on her official rating. She's only rating 55, and if you like, she's taken on horses who have been applying their trade in much tougher company. But she was really unlucky here the last day, and she was a horse I marked up in my mythical horse tracker over course and distance on the 14th of November when she completely fluffed the start. She reared and jumped in the air, almost hit her head on the superstructure. Took a long time to get into top gear, but she finished her race off incredibly strongly to suggest that she was hugely unlucky. Anything but other than a clear break, and think she would have won smoothly. She only got beat by her head by times in Anatevka. So if she gets a better break tonight, she's got a much better draw. I can see this filly being competitive because she came home in an astonishing 33-3 down the lane. And that's very smart. So, High Empress, a little bit of a tentative each way one in the first.
Okay, High Empress in the opener. Next up is the 6:45. It's a maiden over 6 furlongs. Won't be the strongest race on the card this, Andy. We've got a real mix. You've got Sassy But Classy, who's shown some pretty solid pieces of form, but she's yet to get her head in front, and that could be an issue when she's coming up against some, well, what could be a couple of quite nice newcomers here.
Yeah, this is a real nasty one for me to assess so early in the morning without really knowing what the plans are and the market moves are behind bars and period piece. Of course, 2 horses from trainers synonymous with their horses here at Dundalk. But definitely the form pick as it stands, is sassy but classy. She sets a pretty high standard. She's rated 78, and I think she'll pretty much run up to that level as she's done on the last two or three starts. A good second again behind the very much eye-catching and impressive first-time out winner, Aggression, from the Mickey Howe-Callaghan stable, who was well-fancied, well-backed, and got the job done. Looks an impressive colt, that. So certainly no disgrace in finishing second to that improver. And the fact that she finished ahead of one of my best bets of the night was Knoxville Bullet suggests that she's still running to the same level of form. Her runs behind Folklore and Split the Atom previously in two competitive handicaps read quite well. She's way clear on her figures, obviously, because she's run here lots of times and she's the one that stands out. I've got the three fastest times by her. I think she'll beat Sergeant Rock, who's run also to a fair level, but not to the standard of Sassy but Classy. Obviously, another interesting one to mention here is Ace of Arts from the Sabrina Harty stable. Again, another yard that does really well here. She finished second to Capello Sansevero on her first start, which obviously reads well. Capello Sansevero went on to win several group races subsequently. She then ran on the turf and did get beat too far in a strongly run race at Navan. She hasn't been out since, but she's bred by Art Connoisseur, and a lot of his offspring want this all-weather surface. So that's one to keep an eye on in the market as well, especially from a good draw. So I'm going to tip Sassy but Classy early, but obviously things might change and the plot might thicken as I get into the studio a little bit later on.
OK, so one to monitor there, but Sassy but Classy to pick, the form pick at least, in the 6:45. The 7:15 is next up. It's a filly's maiden over a mile. Really not a great race, this one, Andy, but there is a winner to be found. Have you found it?
Hopefully, yeah. I've tipped this horse a couple of times, clutching at straws, and podcast will be thinking I'm doing just that, going for this horse again. But it's not without good reason, because the day when I went for it at Dundalk, it didn't get the clearest of runs. Probably might have won had it not got sandwiched late on by the eventual winner, Orosia, and one up the rail as well, Maiera, two Halford horses. It was a Halford sandwich, as it were. And then dropped back in trip at Nace, which was a big mistake on its last start in a red-hot nursery on the 19th of October. But was doing all its best work later on. Basically, this horse has been crying out for further than the distances it's been running over, up to a mile tonight. I think that'll definitely help this horse get into a better rhythm and a better track position. Got a good draw. And interestingly, connections have also got the vise on for the first time. I think that's probably born out of jockeys saying to the trainer, Mark O'Callaghan, this horse needs to be a little bit more competitive early. So maybe the visor just might sharpen it up a bit. Often loses its race early on and struggles to come from an unpromising track position. So everything looks set fair tonight. Up in trip, visor on first time, decent draw, and hopefully can continue the good work from the Mickey O'Callaghan stable.
Race number four on the card is an apprentice handicap over a mile. This looks your typical Dundalk fare, this one, Andy. A race that you can really get your teeth stuck into and potentially find a little bit of value. At the time of recording, which is about 20-9, we've got 4-1 joint favourites in Twists and Turns and Rockview Emperor. But it is a pretty tight market, Andy, and you could give a chance to quite a few of these.
Oh, yeah, definitely. This is a race I probably won't spend too much time waffling on about. Early on in the morning, it's a race I'm not going to have a bet in. But for obviously podcast purposes, I'll mention a few that are in good nick and come out well on the figures. Twists and Turns is certainly one of those. Managed to win here the last day in pretty impressive fashion, storming down the centre of the track. Winning quite a good time, came home 35-4, which is pretty standard for this kind of level of horse. You've also got Sister Slew, who has left the Gordon Elliott stable, now runs for Shane Nolan. That was a good run behind Zar Paul the other evening. Of course, Zar Paul was tipped on the podcast here the other day to good effect. I think that form's pretty solid. So if you gave me an early choice, that would probably be the one. But then you chuck into the mix the sort of fringe horses like Jackie Ellis, the dropping down in grade, Norville. Lord Kenmar's very handy in this grade and comes from a yard in great form. And also Mary Mastiff, he can break on time. There's loads of horses that you can throw into the mix. It's going to be 5-6-1 the field without seeing the betting so early. But yeah, I'll probably go with Sister Slew with a good draw. And that good run behind Zar Paul under its bonnet, that would do for me at this early stage.
Okay, next up is the 8:15. It is a handicap over 7 furlongs. A lot of horses, well, this is one of the races that I was touching on earlier, Andy, when you've got horses that continue running up against each other. Some of these are firm friends by now. You could give a chance to a few, but makes sense to start with Zar Paul. I know this horse did you a turn on Wednesday evening, and if turning out again, would have to be very, very much respected here.
Oh, very much so, yeah. I mean, if you've had a touch with a horse, it goes against my nature, really, to plough in again. I tend to find that I've done my work on the horse and following it over a cliff and keep following it can obviously you can leave it behind. But it's hard for me to oppose this horse again tonight, such as its level of nick at the moment. And the way it finished the other day over six furlongs augurs well for its chances tonight. Definitely better over seven. And Arabine, of course, has struck a chord with this horse in recent times. And James Nash is looking to strike while the iron is hot. I very much like horses that have a good bit of continuity. I like it when they're in form and they're running day after day. Their obviously fitness is high, their confidence is high. And they're very easy horses to ride. He must be a pleasure to sit on. Anna O'Brien can just basically bide her time on him to the round about the three furlong marker, wait for the cutaway, hope that the splits come, and then just try and work her way through the field and pick them off one by one down the lane. All in all, Zarpal has to be the selection. Has beaten most of these horses quite readily in the last week or two, and I expect him to do so again. Whether he's great value, I'm not sure. Obviously, I haven't seen the prices yet, but he's always a horse worth looking at from an each-way perspective. So if you can get, say, bigger than 3-1, 7-2 about this horse, I think we'll be in for a reasonable shout again tonight.
OK, and we do expect him to turn up.
I would have thought so, yeah, that was the plan. That's what I read the other day after this race. He was going to come here again with Zarpal, and why not? You know, you're in good nick. You know, don't spoil the fine run.
Absolutely. OK, just want to keep an eye on then. Zarpal in the 8.15. Next up is the 8.45. It's a handicap over seven furlongs, and I think I'm right in saying it's the best rate of race of the evening, Andy. Some really nice types. If we can keep the eight runners, it has a lovely each-way feel to it as well, this race. Plenty of old favourites in there, and plenty of horses that are not shy of winning.
Absolutely not. No, this is an absolute humdinger. A difficult one for me to assess. The one to rule out straight away, really, would be Balmont Mast. I've got a funny feeling that connections of this horse are using this race as a stepping stone for the all-weather series in Dubai. Of course, this horse has been running out in Maidan for the last year or so on the all-weather surface, and of course, now they've switched to dirt. It's certainly given connections many options with that horse. But basically, this is one of the only few races this horse can run in. You know, horses rated 103. You can't sort of mix and match and pick and choose your races. You've just got to basically take what comes along. And the fact that this horse starts off its comeback trail off a mark of 103 and was racing over seven furlongs, a trip that he's never tried before, suggests that Edmund Lyon was just basically looking to get a run into that one. So we put a fork in Balmont Mast, but that does leave us with three really informed runners here to, you know, to sort out. Obviously, Marble Statuette's the one on the upgrade. She comes here following two very impressive wins, been ridden on with ice-cool confidence by Robbie Corgan and Colin Keane in its last two starts. And, of course, now Tom Madden takes over tonight. He takes £7 off. She could be absolutely chucked in again here. She's a high cruiser. If they go good pace, obviously, it'll suit. But this is a massive, massive step up for Marble Statuette. She's running against the proper, decent, almost like listed stroke grade three horses here at Dundalk that run over seven furlongs. And with that in mind, I think this race will be fought out between Captain Joy and Rummaging, two horses that have locked horns many times in the past. And I expect Tracy Collins' charge to come out on top, like he did back on the 21st of October when he beat Rummaging quite comfortably. I actually thought he was full value for that length winning margin. He hit the front fully two furlongs out and was either riding or dossing, call it what you like, in front. But it was another excellent run, a fantastic speed figure as well. Puts his horse well clear on my numbers. Ran six furlongs in 69.2 and come home with 34 and change down the lane. So that kind of speed figure is going to make this horse very difficult to beat tonight. A real seven furlong specialist, well drawn from a yard that does really well here. Joey O'Brien booked. If you can get sort of 7-2, 4-1 for Captain Joy, I think that's a fair enough each way price and is the best bet on the card.
OK, the final race is the 9.15. It's a handicap over the extended mile and two furlongs. And we know some of these incredibly well, Andy, like the back of our hand, it could be said. Plenty of these have been running recently. Sharjah's a horse that I have an affinity to, even though he has been struggling to get his front of late. He's wonderfully consistent. You've got the likes of Havelock Ellis, who has been showing form. Fanzie's consistent. Alvar got a win under his belt last time out. Beat the Ballot has been consistent. Muck and Brass is in form. You know, there really are plenty you could give chances to here. And as such, you'd imagine that you'll find a fair bit of value.
Yeah, because I've gone for Sharjah on more than one occasion this season, podcasters will be expecting me to not let them down and go for that again. And he very much almost tips himself here, particularly at the price he's going to be this morning. I've seen quotes of 6-1 as big as, and that looks a reasonable each-way bet from where I'm sitting here now. His last five runs, he's been second or obviously won, no worse. He ties in with all the best speed figures over this trip, and All the horses have been in good form, such as Havelock Ellis. He's beaten that horse. He's second to He's Our Music, who smashed the ball out of the park on the figures of the day. He then bumped into Minnow Street, who's won four times here throughout the all-weather season. And of course, they're very much upwardly mobile. Moonmeister lowered his colours here the last day. He likes to force the issue. He stays beyond a mile and a quarter. He gets a mile and a half trip. So Declan McDonough can ride him pretty much any which way he likes. He's very strong down the lane. It's hard to see Charger basically not finishing the frame here, given his run style. So he's going to be the number one choice. But I'd also just chuck a few pounds each way at high net worth as well. A horse who's a bit of a hit-and-miss character, but he's potentially very well treated here. And it was a good run the other day behind Ned's Indian in a race which has obviously worked out well. The winner and the third, He's Our Music, fought out the finish here the other day, as we thought. And high net worth looked as though he's going to have every chance approaching the Furlong pile, only just to fade late on. But that was a really good standard of race. The speed figure suggests that high net worth definitely overpriced here. He's got a good draw in trap one, so he can hug the inside Luke Dempsey. And at 14-1, that's the early quotes I've got off a couple of firms. He looks the one that I'd probably be more excited about over the price. But I think if we play Charger each way and have a few quid, maybe small each way on high net worth, we should be there or thereabouts in the last.
Okay, great stuff, Andy. Be lovely to see you in the studio this afternoon and this evening for the Dundalk card. And we'll catch up with you soon.
I better get in the car.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.